On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and I just want to give a big shout-out thank you to everyone who donated during our spring member drive. Support from people like Jim and Menominee sustains the trusted news and information you value on the Ideas Network. To ensure the resources are in place, we fundraise throughout the year, which has also been affected at this time. So if you missed the drive, your gift now at WPR.org is especially important. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're looking at Wisconsin's first COVID-19 relief bill, provides support during this public health emergency. It also allows Wisconsin to capture a portion of federal funds from the CARES Act. It's helping unemployed and furloughed workers. So to talk about it, let's bring in Democratic Representative Evan Goyke, who represents part of Milwaukee's West Side. He's a member of the Joint Finance Committee and the Assembly's Corrections Committee. Representative Goyke, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So the governor last week announced he would extend the state's stay-at-home order until the 26th of May. Do you support that extension?
I do. I think we need to continue to watch and listen to experts, watch the data. And what we've seen is we had a steady increase and then a bit of a plateau in our new positive cases and then a spike back up. And that means we've shown that the stay at home order can work if we follow it. And we've also shown that if we don't, the rate of positives can go back up. So at this point, I think the data shows that we need to stay strong, stay home, stay safe, and watch the data fall and the new positives fall before we lift the order.
Yeah, and there's modeling out there, different modeling out there from different organizations. And we're watching also the Wisconsin Hospital Association figures looking that, you know, new cases and hospitalizations has basically plateaued since early April. What do you see there?
Well, I think that is a sign that the initial efforts that we undertook paid off. That remember when the initial order was announced, this was not a cure, but a way to, quote, flatten the curve. And I think that's what you're showcasing are the statistics that show that happened, that worked. The challenge in arguing about this sometimes with people that want to see the order removed is that we're arguing the absence of something. So they're saying, hey, this isn't so bad. We should lift the order. Well, it's because of the order that it isn't so bad. So inherent in that is that at least for the time being, that things are seem to be working and that they should stay in place.
Well, let's bring in a call now. Dale is joining us from River Falls. Hi, Dale. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I guess the question that I'm really struggling with is just down to basics and brass tacks when we're looking at the uprise in protests and people gathering and such. Is I'm looking at whitehouse.gov and the 30 days to stop the spread still exists, and that was put in place on April 2nd. So in theory, that goes through May 2nd, and the second bullet point on there says for people to avoid gatherings of 10 people or more. And when I think back, just 2 weeks ago, the vice president and the president were praising Americans for acting on these guidelines. And I'm just really trying to reconcile where people are at, people that are actually, you know, participating in the protests, et cetera. I'm trying to reconcile, are we under those guidelines or not? What's happened where Americans are being praised for doing the American thing, following those guidelines, and now all of the protesting, et cetera, seems to fly right in the face of that.
So Dale is wondering about these mixed messages. Representative Goyke?
I find it challenging to reconcile the White House action all the time. But Dale points out something that it's very valid. His point is valid. There seems to be a total mixed signals coming out of Washington, D.C., where one tweet on a Monday will say liberate and seemingly suggest to want to open up a state. And then the comments from the president the following day will say that it's too early to open up and to go back on the order. And so I don't think that we're going to get a clear signal from this president and from the White House. That's been consistent in his presidency. I think we can trust our Wisconsin public health officials to base their decisions on our information, our data, our cases, our population, and that's who I'm trusting and watching and listening to. I think the other point that Dale brings up is really important about those protesters. I challenge them, and maybe they're listening and they'll call in about how they would answer his question about the disconnect between what the president is saying, continue stay at home, can, you know, this additional 30 days, and the protest that was held over the weekend at Brookfield. Many of those people were holding signs in support of the president's reelection, yet seemingly defying his advice on how we handle this pandemic right now. So to the caller, it's a great point. I wish I had better guidance on how to handle what the president says. We often see this mixed messages out of Washington, D.C.
We heard Friday from Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who criticized the governor's extension as an unnecessary one-size-fits-all approach.
For an awful lot of Wisconsin, there is very limited COVID cases, and that is fantastic. But we are putting the same restrictions on a couple who lives in rural Wisconsin that goes to, you know, one grocery store and one gas station as somebody who lives in downtown Milwaukee.
So that was Representative Voss during an interview with WISN. Would you support, Representative Goyke, the state taking a more regional approach instead of a blanket approach to gatherings?
Not at this point. And I underneath some of those words is a very dangerous us versus them mentality, where I think that is a path that Wisconsinites do not want to walk down. You know, I don't think that the speaker is wrong in describing life in rural Wisconsin. The challenge is that if the virus gets into that community, it's going to spread within the entire community very rapidly. The close bonds of small town rural Wisconsin are maybe what is keeping it safe and free of the virus now. But if it enters, it is exactly the same characteristics that'll allow it to spread very rapidly. And so that's the point. It's prevention. And I think that it's dangerous for us to say that one side or one community a certain order and others do not. And we have seen flare-ups. If you remember when Wisconsin first experienced its outbreak, that, for example, Fond du Lac, which is a smaller city, was one of the hotspots and was able to plateau its numbers. And so we're going to see that happen where certain communities see flare-ups or hotspots. And the order, I think, should be in place for all of us. And again, I really caution about going down a path where we try to divide up the state. And it is not an us versus them virus. It's an us together against the spread of the virus.
We're discussing the pandemic with State Representative Evan Goyke. He's a member of the legislature's Influential Budget Writing Committee, Joint Finance. Do you live in the Milwaukee area? Where do you see the greatest need for support from state lawmakers? What are your top priorities right now? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Representative, before we move on, Assembly Speaker Voss also said on WISN that Republicans were preparing to challenge the extension in court this week. Do you agree the administration is overstepping its legal authority? What about court proceedings here?
No, I think this is an extension of a battle that has gone on between the speaker and the Evers administration that began the day after Republicans lost the statewide election. To frame it appropriately for everyone, it began with what we called the lame duck session, which changed the balance of power between the executive and legislative branch. It continued through the budget and legislative process. And I don't, the executive branch is who execute government. They are positioned to respond to emergencies like this. That is the structure of our government. And the fact that there's a Democrat in the executive branch in Wisconsin state government has frustrated Speaker Voss for 2 years. And this is, I think, an extension of what we saw, how we saw the session begin. We are lucky to have Governor Evers and his administration at the helm. I don't know what it would be like without his leadership and the decisive action that they took on a whole host of different fronts. And, you know, I think people need to just take a breath and realize that this is an unprecedented moment. You might not like the guy, you might not have voted for him, but his leadership has helped us. We've had seen results of the stay-at-home order, and it is a time to work together, not a time to spend taxpayer money litigating in court over who's got the say. It is a time to work together and not work against each other.
What about the calls for the secretary designee Andrea Palm to step down and to not be confirmed?
Well, she should have been confirmed in the first place. So the calls for her to be essentially fired come after this unprecedented session where the Senate, fired a secretary and have not confirmed a number of other appointees or nominees. I have met and worked with Secretary Palm. She is an incredible woman. She is incredibly smart. We are lucky to have someone like her at the helm who is working day after day, 24/7, listening to the experts, making the decisions we need to stay safe.
On the State Capitol Report, we're talking with Evan Goyke, a Democratic representative in the Assembly. He's a former public defender and member of the Assembly's Corrections Committee. You can join in. How do you want state corrections officials to respond to the outbreak? How do you want to see the relief bill made in your area? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute. More State Cap here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're looking at Wisconsin's first COVID-19 relief bill that provides support. It also allows Wisconsin to capture a portion of federal funds from the CARES Act. What do you think of the relief package? How will it affect you and your business, your livelihood? Where do you want relief funding to flow? We're at 800-642-1234. We have Democratic Representative Evan Goyke, who stays with us. Representative, let's take a look at the legislation that was signed last week by Governor Evers. It basically amounts to about 24 pages of changes to state law. What stands out? What changes are most important to you?
The two most important pieces and why I supported the bill, first is the suspension of a 1 week waiting period for unemployment benefits. That's something that we Democrats believe should be repealed and that unemployed workers should get their benefits without having to wait a week. In this moment, however, it means that the federal government will be sending more money to unemployed workers and they will cover that 1 week. And so this was a requirement to pull down tens of millions of dollars of federal money for unemployed workers. And it's going to go directly to their checking accounts, which is huge. The second piece that's really important is that there were suspensions of challenges to enroll in Medicaid, like the new law requires monthly premiums or a copayment if someone goes to the emergency room, and the CARES Act required that those hurdles be removed. And if they were removed, which they were in the legislation, then we as a state would receive what's going to amount to about $50 million a month in Medicaid payments or additional Medicaid payments from the federal government. And what that does is it allows our state tax dollars to be freed up to be used elsewhere. Those two pieces alone are huge. And as you said, there were a number of other provisions in the bill, but those are the two most important provisions that will have the biggest impact statewide.
It also creates a $75 million pot of money that lawmakers can dip into for unexpected needs. And as a member of the Budget Writing Committee, how would you prioritize that money?
Well, that's a great question. And I want to make sure to be clear at the beginning that the bill, when it was first drafted gave that committee, the Joint Finance Committee, the power to reduce or to cut expenditures. That provision was removed pursuant to negotiations. So this is not this money up to $75 million does not come out of public schools. It isn't going to be cut from some other important investment. And so that was a very positive change. We're beginning now. We're working with the Evers administration to see where federal dollars can be spent that came to the state through the CARES Act. And where we see one of our first priorities out of the Assembly Democratic Caucus is something we're calling healthcare heroes. And this is to ensure that people in the healthcare industry, whether hospital, clinic, et cetera, have the necessary PPE, that they are provided hazard pay, that they have unemployment compensation if they get sick from their exposure. And we think as a first step, we recognize these essential workers that are still going to work every day and on the front lines of this outbreak. And from there, we want to work with the Evers administration to see where did the federal CARES Act leave holes in our state priorities. And so you're going to see this week, I think, some of those priorities outline as we move forward. An important date last week, we believe there was more information coming from the federal government on how the CARES money can be spent by the Evers administration. And again, as we see, if there are gaps, that's where we believe that $75 million should be spent. But we know at the very least that a priority should be our healthcare heroes.
So let's look at prisons now. Earlier this month, you called on Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr to provide clear leadership in how prisons should handle the pandemic. Is that not happening right now?
I think that the Secretary Carr has shown clear leadership. I think what I intended in that release is that the more information we can provide to individuals that are incarcerated and their family about what steps will be taken and when, it will help everyone. We have seen a flood of calls to my office with people that are rightly very scared about their loved ones that are in custody right now. And it is the release that we put out was not a criticism on the actions that the department has taken, but a call for continued communication to individuals and their families so that that there's complete transparency on what's happening. Because as you can imagine, if your loved one is in custody and the only access to information you have is a news report saying that it's very dangerous if the virus gets in a prison, you'd rightly be very scared and you'd want to know exactly what that institution's going to do to keep your loved one safe. So that was the purpose of that. We've seen COVID-19. You've seen positives in local jails as well as
We're having some difficulty with some pauses here, talking with State Representative Evan Goyke, a Democrat from Milwaukee. Representative, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, good. Well, let's take a call here for a moment. Rita is joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Rita.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I guess I just, first of all, I appreciate all of our elected officials, whether I voted for them or not. It is an extremely difficult time to try to make decisions on so many unknowns. My concern is some of our people who feel like they're in prisons, not in a incarcerated way, but the care systems being denied access to their families in a very critical time. So I know a lot of times the prison systems, they've had contingencies, plans all along, and I appreciate that, and they practice them, so that's very important. I just want to hear more on how the emotional considerations are giving to society. I just hear statistics, and we are not statistic people. We're relational people. Thank you.
Rita, thank you for the call. Representative, what is the emotional toll there, and are people in prisons getting that support?
Well, I think the caller is right that goes that's a unique situation for people in custody, but all of us statewide, and the different emotional tolls it takes with all of us. The Department of Corrections has opened up on resources within their power, phone calls, more media, books, library access, et cetera, so that individuals have more ways to connect and more ways to keep themselves productive, and so that they're not just sitting in isolation. But again, it's a big challenge when they're restricting movement. And so it's a difficult time for people in the institutions. The Department of Corrections is doing everything they can safely, but they do have to curtail some of the group or work release, you know, that's just a reality of the situation, that they have to restrict the access or the exposure, because if the virus gets inside a prison, it would spread. There's no social distancing with inside a prison.
Well, very quickly here, the first relief package came last week. What is the legislature doing next? What's your next priority?
Well, you'll see action. The Democrats in the legislature were unanimous in calling on the legislature to act in additional ways. You will see this week for next steps. I mentioned and outlined one of our first priorities will be healthcare heroes, getting our frontline healthcare workers the resources and the hazard pay that they deserve. I think that's a priority that everyone can relate to. First responders, making sure that everyone that's out there on the front lines is safe and is compensated justly for what they're doing during this time. And stay tuned. We're going to be releasing more information this week as we work with the Evers administration as federal resources are coming to the state.
Representative, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Evan Goyke, a Democratic representative in the state assembly, represents part of Milwaukee. Just ahead, we move from the coronavirus outbreak in Wisconsin to a broader view of global warming. A climate journalist explains how our warming planet could bring challenges for decades to come. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.